Welcome, art lovers, to the SCHS Visual Art Podcast, where we are equipping creative minds to be artists of many styles and disciplines. We feature guest artist talks and other fun things to guide, inspire, and inform the work you make or want to make. I'm Tucker Webb, but a lot of you listening probably know me as Mr. Webb. Let's check it out. Welcome, everybody, to the 18th episode of the SCHS Visual Art Podcast. Today, our guest is interior designer Emily Ward, along with two of her colleagues, Carmen Jean and Caitlin. Emily is co-founder and co-owner of the interior design firm Pierce & Ward, along with her partner, Louisa Pierce. They specialize in creating comfortable and aesthetic spaces that combine a charming antique and fashionable modern design together into one. Their roster of clients includes people such as Leonardo DiCaprio, Dakota Johnson, Kate Hudson, and more, and they have been featured and celebrated many times in Architectural Digest. Check out their work before or while listening. You can find Pierce & Ward on Instagram at Pierce & Ward. That's at PierceAndWard, or online at pierceandward.com. This was recorded live with one of our advanced art classes, so of course you'll hear some students asking some questions throughout our chat. Now, let's get to our chat with Emily, Carmen Jean, and Caitlin.
We're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, all three of you.
Well, Caitlin, it's not. Well, Caitlin, where are you?
I'm in Nashville currently.
All right, not that far away.
Right.
Too far.
Pretty close by.
Well, how are you three today?
Doing really well and really excited to talk to you guys and hear any questions that you might have.
We're excited too.
We want to hear how you've heard about us.
Let's see. I think originally Karen Elson, I saw some stuff house, but I feel like I've seen you on some other people's stuff too.
Karen was the first house we ever did together.
Oh, interesting.
Technically.
Yeah. When I was looking it up, like there were some other people that I also follow that I think follow you. So, Yeah. So you're talking to a group of like sophomore, junior, senior art, advanced art students from, and this is basically long story short, this is the last normal week of school until we start a bunch of testing. And a lot of these guys won't even be in school because of the way that they're spacing things out. So some of them are trying to get some last minute things finished, but they're engaged in listening and stuff like that.
Cool. So I don't want you. Are you guys doing ceramics? What are you doing right now?
Some are doing ceramics. Some are doing. We have printmaking right here, and then drawing and painting and stuff like that. Yeah, so all sorts of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to Carmen Jean and Caitlin to join us because I'm a little unusual in that I went to high school in Laguna Beach, California, and then after that I went to UC Berkeley and I studied English. And then I sort of fell into this job kind of accidentally, but you know, my mom was really into it and I kind of did it accidentally, but I wanted Carmen Jean and Caitlin to join us because they went to school for it and they're a lot more qualified than I am. and I wouldn't be able to do this without them. So I wanted to bring them along to kind of show, you know, the process. And we thought we would share like a couple of different ways in which we present to clients. But also like if you guys are busy doing stuff, you can also just ask questions, like whatever, you know, whatever works.
Yeah. All of that sounds awesome. I think that they would definitely, we kind of chatted before we got on the call and they definitely seemed interested in seeing kind of the process of all that. And I think seeing how you present to clients and all that too would be great.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and show you guys that and then you can ask questions. Does that sound good?
Sure. Would you like just kind of introduce
yourself and what you do too while you're doing that?
Yes.
Yeah.
My name is Emily Ward. And about 8 years ago, me and my best friend, Louisa Pierce, started an interior design business together. We just really loved, we would get together and rearrange each other's houses. And then people in Nashville kept saying, I want you to do my house. And we eventually started a company, and one client's word of mouth led to another. And then we got invited to do a job in LA, and now we kind of have clients all over the world, and it's become this amazing company, and we have 7 employees. And yeah, we try to work on like 5 jobs at a time, some of which are really big. And it's really amazing because we get to work alongside with architects. We actually like do the layout of the whole house and everything. And then the architects move walls around for us and get structural engineers involved and tell us if something's possible. We get to, you know, it's like basically a big white canvas, and every room is just gets to be whatever we want it to be, whether that's, you know, creating a floral wall out of tile, or, you know, archways, taking old wood and old doors, whatever you can imagine. It's like basically art class. It's really fun.
That's amazing. And growing it from just you and your best friend to 7 people, that's not a little thing.
Yeah, it's, I feel like we won the lottery, and like I'm dreaming because it's so fun. And I just get to like play with beautiful wallpaper and fabric all day and spend other people's money to make their houses look pretty. And it's so fun. And it's also like a lot of treasure hunting. We buy stuff. Louisa and I work a little differently. Most people, I mean, we work in a conventional sense now because we're doing a lot of jobs from afar. So you kind of have to have like a furniture layout that you adhere to. But Louisa and I like to buy anything that we find that we think is beautiful. And then in the end, we could sort of piece it together like it's Tetris. Okay. I don't know if you guys are too young that you didn't play Tetris, but I played a lot of a lot of Tetris when I was growing up.
Tetris. They all know Tetris.
Hey, y'all are pretty old. Never mind. You know what Tetris is.
They're old souls.
Exactly.
Before you also show that stuff, would you like, what did you do before you guys just decided to start?
Well, when I graduated from Berkeley, I really thought I was going to be a criminal defense attorney. I used to tutor inmates at San Quentin when I was going to Berkeley. And I moved to New York to live with my best friend at the time. And I went to study for my LSATs. And while I was doing that, I was a tutor for a very famous actor named Michael J. Fox. I don't think you guys are
heard of him.
You know what Back to the Future is, right?
Yeah.
So I was a tutor for his kids, and that was an amazing job. And then I worked as an assistant to the president of this fashion company called Alice and Olivia. So I got exposed to that. And then I was an assistant for an actress, and she is in theater. She was a very famous theater actress, and then she was on a TV show called Weeds. And then she's also in movies. So I got exposed to like so many different jobs when I was working for her. And that's why I actually wanted to, when you emailed Tucker, that's why I wanted to do this, is because like, it's so hard when you're young to know what you want to do when you're older. But really, I think the best thing is to be like exposed to so many jobs, because then you can go, okay, I definitely don't want to do that, you know? Because otherwise, how do you know what you want to do if you don't know what you don't want to do, you know? So anyways, yeah, I had so many different jobs. And then I married a musician, and we were on tour traveling the world for 5 years. I know, I've had a very fun life. You guys are probably like, what? I got to travel all over the world, and it was amazing. And that's when I met my best friend, Louisa. And I decided, okay, I can't just go around going to concerts for the rest of my life. So we started our company, and I love it so much.
Well, that is so cool. And it sounds like you're 80 years old with all of that experience that you
I am. Like, yeah. I don't know how you 16 facelifts.
Awesome. Well, without boring you, that's kind of why I wanted to do this though, is because, you know, you get out of high school at 18 and you are just like expected to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. And a lot of these guys are interested in art things, and you know, they're kind of, we're all fed this like thing that you know, a life in the arts. You're going to be starving artists, that sort of stuff. So right. I wanted to kind of expose them to people who do it for a living and do it well and actually, you know, make a living doing it. So we right. appreciate being here.
Yeah. And the cool thing about being an interior designer, like I know that Carmen Jean at some point, really all she wanted to do was be a painter. And then she was like, well, I don't know if I can, you know, make a living as a painter, but you can do this and you can like paint paintings for your client. And you, I mean, we make mood boards and it's like, I don't know if we actually have a book that came out last year, but I want to make another book that's just out of like our mood boards. So I'll show you those because it's really an art form in itself. It's so fun. And yeah, we all kind of like are addicted to our job and we're all texting each other at 11 o'clock at night. Like it's so fun. So
that's a good place to be. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got off on a tangent here.
I'm going to show you two different mood boards. The first one is solely like inspiration. So we take tons of different, you know, inspiration pictures of other rooms that have been done to try to give the client like a vibe
okay.
for what we think their house is going to look like. And then another one I'll show you is something that Caitlin just put together for a client actually in Tennessee. And that one includes floor plans with like furniture plan and sketches of how we want rooms to look and inspiration. So it's all, and also like specific pieces of furniture that we collage in over rooms and colors and patterns and that kind of thing. So, okay. So the first one, I'm going to just share screen. Is that cool?
Perfect.
Okay.
First I think I gave you permission, so you should be good.
I've got it. Yeah. So the first one, here we go, is a mood board for a client we have in England. Carmen Jean made this beautiful mood board. And Caitlin did this beautiful sketch of the exterior of the building. So we, you know, we like to try and include like personalized sort of touches, but, and we go kind of room by room. So this is just how we show, you know, the vibe for the entry hall. And the vibe for the staircase. And like in this particular house, we're doing beadboard all over the walls because the client really wants the house to look like it's so old, even though it's brand new. So we're using like reclaimed flooring and we're putting this bead. This is called beadboard. It's just like vertical paneling, wood paneling. We're putting that all over the walls. So kind of, you know, just the general vibe. It's really fun. You can see like collaging it together. It's like a virtual pin board, I guess. And we have the kitchen and lounge. So here we have that, you know, we like to collage in little touches to make it feel like you can actually imagine what the room is going to feel like, you know? And that, it's funny too, to see this now because the job is almost done and we've changed so many things, but it does definitely have this vibe.
Life of its own.
Yeah, exactly. Living room. So, you know, this is just like how we really start in a vague sense, but we do throw in like wallpapers. And actually this specific wallpaper is going to be appearing in this specific house. You know, this is going to end up being a little bit like what the bathroom looks like. So this is a very, very vague mood board. But it's really fun, you know, like Carmen Jean photoshopped this tile together. That kind of thing.
Yeah, we use a bunch of Photoshop and InDesign to produce this kind of
thing. They do. I don't know how to do that stuff. They do it.
So now, where does all this come from? Like, are you just like, do you have the house or the design for the house and you're just kind of like, you know, you have a vision for it and you're just kind of finding those things that you like? Or
we kind of like, this is funny actually, because this is a bathroom, but we ended up putting this wallpapers going in the kitchen. It's like we find what we think are like the right elements for the house, like these sconces, these paint colors, and then we just put it together in a way where it gets the client like the mood, you know. Mm-hmm. And then later on we show specific mood boards, like, okay, this is going to be the wallpaper that's going in the kitchen. This is going to be the light fixture that's going in the powder room, whatever it is. We get more specific as we go along, but this is just to make sure that like we're on the same page with the client. This mm-hmm. specific client we've worked for before, so it's much easier because, you know, they trust us and we really know them and what they like. But it's hard because it's part of the job though. That's kind of fun, is that you kind of have to like meet the person and then guess what they like based off like them giving you that they say, oh, I love this one bathroom that you did. And I love this. And then you sort of have to kind of like be an investigator and figure out what you think they like. And then it's fun, but it's also kind of scary because you're like, okay, this is what I think your house should look like. And sometimes they're like, no, I hate that. Or, I mean, most of the time they love it because otherwise I don't know why they would hire us, but
yeah,
you know, it's fun. Yes. Yeah. It's like being a psychologist also.
I think you get to like judge people for a living.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the best inspiration photos, sometimes we get one or two inspiration photos from a client, was the banquette hallway of the Rolling Stones that they shot, and the client handed that over to us and said, that's the inspiration for my entire house. And
yeah,
we took that photo and broke it down.
Like a really cool band sitting at a table in the castle. And we were like, okay, got it. Cause it's actually like, you totally get it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's probably easier if you have something to go off of than just nothing, right? Is that true?
Yes. Sometimes clients are like nervous to show us what they like. And then you really have to guess. And that makes it really difficult. Okay. I'm going to show you another one that's kind of a little bit more specific, but still not super specific. So this is another project. And, you know, these are specific materials, like this stone already exists in the kitchen and so does this flooring. So, you know, this would be like a general vibe of what we want it to look like. This would be, you know, there's no island in the kitchen. So we'd be adding an island and adding seating. So we do this kind of a thing. And then these beautiful sketches that our talented team can do.
Love them.
To show what the new setup would be, you know, because right now this doesn't exist in the middle.
Yeah.
So, and like open shelving doesn't exist right now. It's like big cabinets. So what were you going to ask?
So whenever you're doing this, you're not only having to think of like aesthetic, but you're also having to kind of think about the flow of how things, I don't know, because the way it looks is only part of it. People have to live here too.
Oh yeah. The function is like more important even than the aesthetic. So it has to be like so functional. So that's like, you know, Louisa and I both have kids. So we're like, okay, this person, for example, has a kid and we're like, how is this best going to function for somebody who has a family? You know, that's really important. How do we add more storage, whatever that may be, and make it look beautiful, you know?
That's awesome. I love those sketches.
The sketches are so fun. And then, you know, we like to go vintage hunting and put specific pieces that we love in layered with. So like this would be the general mood for the seating area in the kitchen. This is the fridge and freezer. And this would be like our new idea of, you know, adding open shelving and drawers below, making it more functional. Pantry shelves, very important, your pantry. there's a big hallway in this house. Basically, this house was a log cabin from the 1800s that then like a McMansion was kind of built around, and it's pretty cheesy in our opinion. So we're trying to kind of make it more in line with the log cabin from the 1800s, which is so cool. So this hallway right now, it has these like big traditional columns that are kind of like the white, something outside of the White House. And we want to make them beams like this. So this was just an image to show the client, like, this is what we want to do, something like this here. So, and then here's another beautiful sketch that I did not do. So fun. We're going to make the playroom, but it's later on going to become a dining room because he has a little baby. Yeah. So we thought we could make it like a, you know, beautiful wallpaper that can age with the, and not have to be just a playroom. Later on, it can just be like a really amazing dining room. But you can see like, it's so fun how you collage and yeah. More vibe. This client really likes stripes. So just, you know, more inspiration. This is a room that we wanted to add wallpaper in the ceiling. These are the floors, you know, we'd like to layer in a rug and there's a pool table in there. And this is like a chandelier that he already owns. So we like to make it feel like the client can envision what the room will feel like, you know? And it's hard with COVID because we have to send these things like as a text message. So we want to make it as interactive as we can without being in the house and showing, you know, everything. Yeah. Here's the other side of that room where we want to put the beams in. This is a new, like a new door opening that we wanted to create. It's really fun. I mean, honestly, it's really like the sky's the limit as to what you can do with interior design, especially if you have a client who just like lets you be creative. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
It's another room. Did you say
this one is done or you're still working on it?
This one, we're still working on it. This is still really early on, but you know.
But generally when you finish a house, can you look back at these and like, even though things change, can you look back and say like, that feels like that room?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I would show you more specific ones, but I can't because they're for very fancy people that told me I'm not allowed to show anybody. More. It's so fun though, you know?
Yeah.
More fat, like this is a fabric that we love. This is kind of, we would usually not choose purple, but the client already has purple couches that he really likes. So we're going to make them work. But it's so fun. Like it's really fun being forced to make something work that you wouldn't normally do, you know, like an option, like a choice that you wouldn't typically make. It ends up being pushing you and into being a better artist, you know, because it's otherwise you kind of just keep doing what you would always do all the time. That's what's fun also about having a partnership with me and Louisa is that like we push each other and we evolve rather than just like staying the same with every house, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, oh, this is a really cool floral tile that we did on a wall one time.
Nice.
Yeah. Putting tiles together, you know, it's amazing what you can do with tile. You can make stripes, you can make arrows, you can make any kind of pattern. So here's a bedroom ideation. That's really fun. So yeah, I guess, oh yeah, here's some more. Do you guys want to ask any questions or?
Yeah, we got a question back here. Do you want to come up? She's going to come up here so you can actually hear her.
Okay, great. Sorry that I'm so sniffly. There's allergies in LA right now.
That's all right.
Very much allergies.
Nashville too.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
I guess my question is, as a company interior designer, like what is like the basic process of like from start to finish, like working with a client? Like when you get a job, like what's like the first thing that you guys do and like how long does it typically take?
So the first thing we would do, like this mood board that I first showed you, the client, you know, it depends if somebody wants to like renovate the house or just decorate it. But I would say if it's just decorating, it usually takes about 4 to 6 months. In this case, the client wants to do renovation. So he's like, okay, this guy, he's an actor. And he said, I want you guys to tell me everything that you would do in your dream scenario. So we came to him, okay, we would change out these beams. We would wallpaper this room. We would redo this bathroom. We would redo your bedroom. And he ended up saying, okay, great. So now we're in the process of having a contractor bid it out, make sure it's going to work. And we're going to be done by Christmas if things all go to plan. So we presented him with this and he wants the master bedroom to be a little different. So like we're reworking it, but it's kind of like you start with what you just have to like, it's like turning in a painting and then, you know, it's so subjective as to whether or not it's finished or not, but we just have to turn this over. And then the client says, okay, I love the TV room, but I want to redo the master bedroom. And otherwise I love everything, you know, it just kind of depends, but like, this is a good starting off point. And then we get really more specific mood boards that are like, this is the paint color. This is the wallpaper. This is the bed fabric. This is what the floor will look like. So, you know, I don't know if that answered your question, but so, you know, this is the beginning and then we'll be done by Christmas.
And before that, like finding clients finding you, it sounds like you mentioned a few minutes ago that after doing Karen's house, you kind of had word of mouth spreading. Is everything pretty much like word of mouth Well, now, like, are you guys ever seeking out anybody, or is it?
It's all been word of mouth. I mean, that when I say that I feel like we won the lottery, it's all been like word of mouth. And then we had a book come out. So now this client, he saw this book, our book, on his friend's coffee table, and then he hired us from that. Gotcha. Or it's just like people finding us on our Instagram, or, you know, if we've been in Architectural Digest, they'll, you know, contact us through architect, you know, finding us on Architectural Digest or whatever it is, you know?
Okay. Another question here is, you started in New York, but didn't really start the interior design stuff until you got to Nashville.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you came to LA. Do you work, I would assume, like outside of those places too? Like if somebody in Nebraska wanted you to do their house,
would you
do that? Okay.
Yeah. So like right now we're doing two houses in London and a house in Franklin, Tennessee. And we just finished a house in Atlanta last year, and we're doing a house in Los Angeles. Oh, we're doing a house in Aspen. We just finished another house in Aspen. So yeah, it's all over the place. I mean, if it weren't for COVID, I'd be so happy because I'd be like over in London more and shopping in Paris, you know, in the flea markets. But, yeah, it's okay. There's a lot of online shopping to be done. So yeah, it's funny also because COVID sort of helped us realize that we could work remotely.
Yeah.
Before,
we, people are finding that out. Yeah.
We felt like a lot more controlling before COVID, and like we had to be on site all the time. And that this has really opened us up to being like, okay, we can do this. And so it's kind of been great for us in that way.
So if tomorrow magically things got back to quote normal, you think the way that you approach what you do would be different than it was before?
I think we could probably do a lot less site visits, and it ends up saving our clients money flying us there. You know, like with Zoom, a lot of times we have like after we get off this call with you, we have a call with an architect in Colorado, and he's going to be showing us a 3D a 3D rendering of the house. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be like, no, the stone doesn't look right. So he'll input like a different stone for us, or the roof doesn't look like, wait, add another window here. So we have these working meetings that are honestly like much more productive than if we were to fly to Aspen and try to like sit next to him at his computer and tell him what to do. It's just like,
yeah,
makes so much more sense, and it saves everybody so much time, you know?
Yeah. So you don't think like, and you kind of just answered this, but there, like you moved to LA more for like a personal reason and not like, would you say that you're just as likely to be successful at interior design no matter where you live? Or do you think that location isn't?
I think we are kind of a strange example because we got really lucky, but like for Caitlin and Carmen Jean, you know, Caitlin emailed us out of the blue when we didn't really have anybody working for us about doing a free summer internship. And we said yes, because she went to Auburn. It just so happened that we randomly, Louisa's father sang at her grandparents' wedding, just so bizarre. So it's a very small world. But, you know, Caitlin had also worked for another huge interior designer called Kelly Wurzler. So we're like, okay, this girl knows what she's doing, and she went to Auburn. Cool. Like, you know, we'll hire her. And it's ended up working out, and she's worked for us for a long time now. But same thing with Carmen Jean, like just randomly emailed us saying that she'd like, you know, to try to get a position at our company. And I think we got really lucky, but otherwise, like, it's really important to work in a store or work for a designer. And then maybe like you branch out on your own, or you like become the head of that company, or, you know, project manager, whatever that may be. But I think it's important probably at first to work for an interior designer and get that experience under your belt. But there's, you know, great interior designers all over the place.
Yeah.
In every city, there's a, you know, somebody that needs help with their company.
Yeah. People it have houses everywhere.
Have a variety of experience with like bigger firms or smaller, just because for me, I interned with a large firm before I interned with Pearson Ward. And I knew right off the bat, I wanted to be in a smaller firm. So like Emily was saying earlier, it helps to, you know, because it just varies so much.
Even if you work somewhere for like a week and then you quit because you hate it, then you know you know, you don't like that big company, or, you know, you don't like the small company, you know, it's just like, it's so important to expose yourself to a lot of different things.
Yeah. Right. Well, Emily, do you mind if I ask, I want to open it up for more student questions, but I have a question for Carmen Jean and Caitlin, if that's okay.
Great. Of course. Yes.
Can you guys tell us, because both of you went to school for interior design?
Yes.
What is interior design school look like? Because, or what was your experience there? Because we've talked to a few artists and things in here, and they, you know, I feel like we have a pretty good grasp, like what art school is like, but I would say that there's probably some like overlaps into what interior design school is like, but it's probably different too. So what was your experience like? Like, what did you do while you were there?
Definitely, it's definitely, there's major overlap for me, because, and I know all design schools, that, you know, they vary, but Auburn interior design, they focus very heavily on the software and like commercial and hospitality. So, you know, AutoCAD, Revit, SketchUp, they want you to know basically kind of a brief overview of all the platforms that these bigger companies would want you to be able to use, which is
extremely- Thank God you did that, because we did a hotel and we would never have succeeded without Caitlin's expertise.
Yeah. But it was good in school, because they kind of, they didn't really hold our hand and, you know, make sure we knew in depth all of the softwares. They threw us kind of all of them, and it was kind of like sink or swim. I figured out which ones I was better at, which ones I wasn't good at. And, you know, you can't be good at everything. So it's important to like figure that out and kind of, you know, dabble and have a brief understanding of everything, but then, you know, take the time to really develop that. Also, ideation, like in the ideation phase and schematic of a project, they focus really heavily on all of us like pitching an idea, having, you know, kind of like wide, you know, perspectives, and, you know, being able to sell an idea, which was super helpful, because for interior design, you're talking to clients and, you know, it's all sorts of, you know, contractors and who are looking at you half the time like you're crazy. So it's, you know, you need to be able to pitch an idea. So that was helpful, but it was, yeah. I would say big presentations and figuring out, learning big softwares was kind of heavily what Auburn school was like. But Carmen Jean, what do you think? Was yours similar?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, both of our programs are their 4 to 6 year programs, you know, and the overlap in regards to the arts is huge. You know, you do things like perspective, rapid viz. You can also do like classes. I did minor stuff where I was taking art classes along the side, because as you can see on these presentations, sketching and ideation and things like that is, you know, really predominant. And translating a vision from, you know, what you're thinking onto paper is something that, you know, the entire art community deals with on a daily basis, whether that's programming or, you know, in a traditional sense. Caitlin and I were also trained traditionally, which means that before we hit all of the programming stuff, we're looking at traditional architecture. So we're using drafting boards. We're all of these floor plans that you see virtually now are all done by hand to scale. We're using charcoal, mixed media. And that was really special, because I love the arts. I grew up, you know, printmaking, black and white photography, visual arts. And I think when I think it was a beautiful thing to discover within interior design, that it is so flexible as a career, and I never get bored. That's what got me really nervous about picking one thing when I went to college, was like, oh my gosh, am I going to just get over this in 10 years, you know? But interior design has this room to just grow, you know, and some people know, some people will never get bored of what they love. I have friends that they're all extremely successful visual artists, or they moved into graphic design or things like that. But yeah, it's
kind of piggyback on what Carmen Jean is saying. Like, you guys are in an art class where you probably do all sorts of different things, and interior design really is that. It's like, And especially if you get like a repeat client, we did a house for a client maybe like 4 years ago. And it was very colorful and very Japanese and wabi-sabi. And then we just did a new house for her and she was like, I want it all ivory. And so it's like, you really get to push yourself as an artist. You're like, okay, I have to get out of my comfort zone and do something totally different. Like usually we do, you know, very maximal. We do tons of little things everywhere. In this house, it was very clean, all one color. And it's just really fun because you're constantly learning and changing. And that's so great to be, you know, a grown up and not being like sitting behind a desk doing something, the same thing every day. It's just, it's really exciting. Makes you feel like a kid all the time, forever.
Mm-hmm. And artists are like that, you know. Artists don't want to sit behind a desk, you know. Like you,
an artist is going to evolve. Whether you're a musician, you know, your records aren't going to sound the same for the rest of your life. And it's hard for some people that aren't artists to accept that. But it's important as an artist to know that it's okay to evolve. And if everyone does accept that, then I think you're really lucky. And as an interior designer, it feels like you can do that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. As you were talking, because I'm an art teacher, I was like thinking about how it's like the house, the Rolling Stones house that you talked about. Like, it seems like that would be very fun to do, and almost seems like similar to like doing an oil painting as an artist or something like that. Like, it's very, you could be very like loose with it and just have fun with it. And then sometimes you have, may have to do like a bank. Not that you guys do banks, but like as an interior designer. There are people who do banks that are like very functional, and it's kind of like almost like a, in art, you could be like a graphic designer that makes logos, and those are very functional. And so it's like, you know, people do different things because they have different styles and different interests. And so it sounds like within the interior design umbrella, there's like so many different things that you can do with it.
Totally. And like some people hire us and they, you know, they are like, I don't want you to do the style that you usually do. I want you to do this, and I'm paying you, and this is what I want you to do. And it's, it can be kind of annoying, but then it pushes you, and it's, you're so happy in the end because you've accomplished something beautiful that doesn't look the same as all your other stuff. And you're really, you feel really proud of it after. That's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to open it up again for some student questions. If that's okay.
Yeah.
You want to come over here? So he's going to come up here so we can.
I wish you guys didn't have to have masks on. I hate not.
I know.
That sucks.
Stay safe.
Okay, this is not along the lines of talking about, in a sense, what you guys do, but when you were talking about you got the chance to go and like have all these jobs with these famous people, or even you guys emailing to be a part of the company, you guys described it as luck a lot of times, but you guys, was there like a strategy that you guys had to go and get these bigger jobs as like with the actors at the beginning, or when, as I said, like you guys emailed her to get the job at the company, if that makes sense?
Well, for me, it sounds like I just fell into all these jobs, but it was, I also had other jobs, and it's a lot of like, honestly, just like hustling and like, okay.
Yeah.
Just not being afraid to like, if you get a job and you hate it, okay, moving on. What's the next thing I'm going to do? It's like just trial and error, you know? And I'm sure that you guys probably emailed like so many different people to work for them, and we just happened to write you back, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I remember, so it's so much hard work, especially when you're, you know, graduating, the world's your oyster. There's so many firms, everyone's telling you a different opinion. And so I think it's easy to like, just take advice, but it's one thing to like really research heavily and look into who you're applying for. Cause it's super important. And I know for Pearson Ward, when I found them, I was, you know, I just loved the way they worked, and I emailed them probably 3 times before they responded. So it's also being persistent. I mean, I could have easily not emailed again. And, you know, I think it's good to be persistent and work hard and really take the time to research and try and think about who, like where you could see yourself working and growing. And so it's, you know, it all happens for a reason, and you'll end up where you're supposed to be, but it's definitely a lot of hustling. So
yeah, I mean,
don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. And you know, strategic wise, it's the same as any visual arts or mixed media. You know, you present a portfolio. You obviously hand over your resume. Interior design is flexible, as in you can work in, for example, my first job was I sold authentic mid-century furniture when I was in high school and into college. And I fell in love with furniture design and learned about furniture. And then that continued through school. And so my resume wasn't necessarily like these stacked interior design firms, but, you know, it was like this buildup of different things. And I always, Caitlin and I look through a lot of applications ranging from internships to full time. And I think what's really important is, you know, cover letters and, you know, talking about yourself on a personal level. Emily and Louisa, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, connected with Caitlin and I, you know, based on personality. And, you know, it's a difficult thing to think about. And it's a little bit daunting to think, oh, I'm in this stack of paper and I somehow need to, you know, be, you know, shine brighter than someone else, or like, you know.
Also, like, in to be an interior design, you just can't be lazy. Like, you have to be the kind of person that will go upstairs and downstairs like 10 times with the same chair to try it in different places.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of like, I'm sure you guys know, some of you are probably really creative at 2 a.m. and some of you are really creative at 2 p.m. And we like don't necessarily tell our team what to do all day. It's like, it has to get done. So get it done. however that feels for you. Like, you know, Carmen Jean's not a super morning person. She likes to work later at night. And Caitlin too.
I feel you, Carmen Jean.
So, you know, it's a cool job in that if you find the right place to work, it's like an honor system, and you know, be creative when you feel creative. Like if you feel really creative at night, that's when Carmen Jean will do her mood boarding, or, you know, and then do the boring emailing and stuff during the day. But, you know, it might be also a good idea to like try, and if it sounds interesting to you, or whatever might sound interesting to you, try to get an internship just for like a week in the summer. Just say, hey, I'll come fold fabrics for you for a week, just to like get some exposure to it. And maybe that's not interior design. Maybe that's like an architecture firm or
a gallery, or
yeah, in a gallery, or working for a ceramicist, like putting away glazes, whatever it is, like, you know. So it's really, I think my biggest piece of advice would be expose yourself to as much as you can. Like work in somewhere, say I'm gonna come, can I work for you for free for a week?
See if, yeah, like, nothing's too small, because it's the small, yeah, things that, you know, after a certain amount of time, you know, then you do hit that. We were talking about luck earlier, right? And you know, luck is a combination of extreme hard work and a little bit of sweet timing, right? And yeah, I think if you do all of these, you know, things, and you don't treat anything as, you know, a waste of time or whatnot, it's just building this like bucket of information, totally, and these resources. And then you do hit that sweet spot and you get that bit of luck where Caitlin and I, you know, found Emily and Louisa. And it really does feel like we're so blessed. We all are obsessed.
But they work their asses off. Excuse my language.
That too.
Well, I want to say, first off, Carmen Jean, I'm sorry to make you be on a Zoom call at 9:30 in the morning your time.
I'm in my appropriate sweat attire, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, good. And then I also just want to, you kind of touched on it there, but what is, like, because a lot of artists are kind of, I feel like either they are or they're stereotyped to be like very solitary, like isolated people. What do you think that, like, what's it like to work with like a partner/team of people, and how is that helpful, like, in your creative decisions?
I think that it's so helpful to work with a team, because, I mean, if you think about it, people hire an interior designer because they don't trust that their taste is right, or they want somebody else. You know, a lot of times if you're a designer, you want to repaint your living room, you probably put a sample up and then you.
Uh-oh.
Is she frozen?
She's frozen.
I think they're both frozen.
I'm frozen.
Oh, now. Okay.
Oh, there we are. We're back.
Oh, there we are.
I love an awkward freeze.
It's welcome back.
So I was just saying, like, you know, you want an opinion when you're, you know, spending a lot of money on a new couch or repainting your living room, or you're going to wallpaper it. You're going to ask somebody's opinion. So I get to be working with my best friend, and it's easier to make decisions. And I think that's how also you can be bold as an artist. Like, you don't want to be scared. So we push each other, and we also really are like unafraid of making mistakes. Cause like, guess what? You can paint it another color.
You also never make that mistake again, ever.
Right. Like, the biggest mistakes in the world, they can all be fixed. Like, nothing is that big of a deal. And it's like, it's a canvas. You can paint over it again, you know?
You can take that chair upstairs and then take it back downstairs.
Exactly. Or like Louisa, you know, will want to paint a window turquoise. And I'm like, you're psycho. And then she's like, just let me try. If it's not right, we'll repaint it. And then 9 times out of 10, I'm like, okay, you're not psycho and it looks awesome.
you talked to earlier about like the kind of dare, like doing new things as you go along. Like, how do you kind evolving. Of balance? Yeah, evolving. How do you balance? Like, you kind of have to, I guess, be aware of trends and stuff.
That's
maybe,
right.
But then you like don't want to just do what's trendy so that it's like it looks antiquated in 5 years or whatever.
Exactly.
And like, how do you balance that?
Well, I think it's like using materials that are timeless. And then, you know, you can be trendy with like pillows and little small things that aren't going to cost you a lot of money to change. So, you know, we'll try to use like a classic shape for a couch, and maybe we'll use a bold print on it. But you can always recover that in 10 years if it feels dated. Or paint is something that's really easy to change. So it's like, you know, if you want to be trendy with a color, that doesn't really matter because you can paint it again in a little while. But some things are just like always classic, you know. And we really like to shop for, we like to use antiques rather than new stuff most of the time. And so, you know, old things tend to stand the test of time better, I think. And it's also more environmentally friendly.
There you go.
Sure is.
Yeah. Do you guys have any thoughts on, like, just because a lot of us are probably interior design illiterate, like for us, do you have a grasp or like an easy way to think about like what you think of as good design versus bad design, good interior design versus bad interior design?
I mean,
like, what makes you walk into a place and be like, ugh?
I think something like, I think it's like, if it's feels uncreative, you know, but it's like, I don't know, some people might think I have the worst taste in the world. It's all relative, you know. But I think if something makes you stop and go like, whoa, that's so ugly, but like, at least that somebody put some like crazy thought into it, or they were bold, to me that's a lot more exciting than like a white box that everything looks like you can't sit on it and you can't live there, you know. I like interiors that look like you can see somebody's personality or what they like or what they feel like based on what their room looks like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think a lot of times you only notice bad design. Like, a lot of times good design is supposed to kind of encourage you to live in the moment and enjoy it, not be like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable sitting in this, you know, or like think about it, you know, this room doesn't make me excited about the another project I'm working on. So.
That's right, exactly.
That's a great point.
So maybe good design, sometimes you don't even notice that it's good design because it's like doing its job.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? At the end of the day, is that you create, and it's like anything, you create an environment for somebody to experience. And that experience, you know, it should feel effortless. It shouldn't feel forced in any way. So it definitely becomes, in regards to taste, it's, you know, everyone has their own perspective, similar to a painting. But if you are giving the client what they want, and if you feel true to it, then, you know, people gravitate towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I want to open it up one more time for student questions. And then I've got like maybe three really quick questions.
We have a call in 10 minutes with an architect.
Ooh, so. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you one quick question then?
You sure can.
If you could go back, and you can answer it, Emily, or the three of you can answer it, it doesn't matter. If you could go back in time to your 16 or 17 year old self, what is something that you would tell yourself to help you on your artistic journey?
Oh gosh, do you guys have an answer for that?
Yeah. But I'm like, I got the chills when you asked me that, because it's a really weird experience. But
time travel, back in time, back in
the I know. I'm not that old. None of us are that old yet, but it is weird to think about. You know, I think you have to listen really deeply. And there's always like, there was definitely big signs for me that came up that, you know, I'm looking back now, you know, your gut, trusting your gut and your instinct. And, you know, it was in a class like this that I had someone speak to me that made me decide to be an interior designer. So, you know, if you have a feeling and you really like feel it in your bones, like go for it, you know? And there were plenty of times that happened to me that I could have maybe done something and I didn't. You know, you choose the, you know, path and the fork in the road or whatever, but yeah, just listen to your gut and have a blast, you know?
I love that. I think the problem is there's so many other voices that are coming at you along with your gut telling you that.
Yeah.
So sometimes we ignore the gut and go with the other things, but
I would say try lots of things. In my experience, like
be attuned, and
because you never know until you try, you know.
Yes. Awesome. Caitlin, did you have anything too? No pressure.
No, I mean, quickly, my answer would be to take an art class, because that really my first art class that I took was in college. And even then, I kind of was not confident in sketches or whatever I was working on. And I had, you know, anyways, a teacher tell me one time to, you know, not listen to all the critics and just keep going with what, you know, just what you guys are saying, your gut, and be confident in your craft and just keep going. And all the work always pays off, even if you don't realize exactly how yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, I don't want to keep you so that you miss your call. But we can't thank you, all three of you, enough for being here and taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Good luck with all your testing coming up, guys.
Yes.
Thank you. I think most of these guys are off the hook, but they just won't be in class, which is probably nice for some of them. Yeah. Good luck on your meeting, and I hope you guys have a great year and that
thank you.
Do everything you want to do.
Thanks,
all
right, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks a million to Emily Ward, along with Carmen Jean and Caitlin, for taking time to talk to us. They were so honest, transparent, and kind, while also teaching us about something that I knew very little about. I feel like I have a much better understanding of how a lot of interior design works now. Remember, you can find Pearson Ward on Instagram at Pearson Ward or online at PearsonWard.com. As always, thank you for listening. If you have any questions or have artist suggestions for this podcast, you can email at schsvisualart@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at @schsvisualart. Until next time, keep creating.